This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is California Congressman Dan Lundgren. He's a Republican from the Golden State's 3rd Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees, and he's also the new chairman of the House Administration Committee. We wanted to get his reaction to the horrific shootings and killings in Tucson, Arizona, one of which who was targeted, of course, is Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who remains in critical condition. In the intervening time, there's been a lot of talk about perhaps enhanced security on Capitol Hill and when members go back to their districts. And, of course, there's been a lot of talk about whether political rhetoric played any sort of role here. And, Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What should our listeners know, first of all, as far as the record of and character of Congresswoman Giffords? What type of experiences have you had with her?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a close friend, but I am someone who has spoken with her on a number of occasions in informal settings. And I would just tell you, she's as open and as cheerful and as inviting a person as you would ever want to meet in politics. Someone that you can talk to. And I remember on several occasions she's reminded me that she used to be a Republican. So it did not surprise me to learn that she was holding a sort of an informal meet and greet to meet constituents without the requirement that they have a scheduled appointment. So that didn't surprise me at all. In fact, you would expect that just because of the way she operated both personally and her office. But the horrific criminal act, let's remember, it's a tragedy for her and the victims, but it is a criminal, intentional criminal act from everything we can tell that occurred, was shocking, absolutely shocking. It would be the last thing that I would have thought of as we finished voting on Friday, and a number of members were able to go to their home districts, including Congresswoman Giffords.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren. And Congressman, in terms of the security question, then that's an issue that falls under the purview of the administration committee. What, if anything, has been suggested? What is the process you would follow in even considering whether or not to change policies there?
Well, I want to just tell you, when I found out I was going to be chairman of this committee, I made it very clear that one of the things I wanted to do was to review our security from A to Z. Not because I had a specific complaint, but rather I just think that you need a fresh view on things. And if there's anything we've learned in this, in the response to those terrorists who would attack us and kill us, it is that as far as law enforcement is concerned and as far as our counterintelligence and counterterrorism operations are concerned, we have to be agile. We have to be able to pivot with the latest threat in such a way that we reorder our priorities if that's appropriate, or we somehow recalculate the way we administer our resources. And so from the very beginning, I've talked about the fact that we should not nickel and dime ourselves with respect to the security of the Capitol and the security of members and our constituents. So this is not something that has come to my attention as a result of this horrific incident. It's something that I think is necessary, particularly when you have long periods of relative calm, meaning that we haven't had successful attacks on the Capitol for some period of time, and Flight 93, which I think every bit of evidence suggests was aimed for the Capitol. And so in the intervening time, I think you have a tendency to take things for granted. I think you have a tendency to let your guard down a little bit. And so if there's any message for members coming out of this, it is that we should be more vigilant, we should be more urgent with respect to security needs for ourselves, for our staffs, and for constituents who might be meeting with us. Having said that, if anybody believes that we're going to have a wholesale change in which you're going to find Capitol police officers or people allied with them from Washington going to districts and providing regular coverage, if you will, of a security nature for members, they should be disabused of that notion. We need to continue the idea that the local law enforcement and cooperation with local law enforcement and direct lines of communications with local law enforcement are absolutely essential for members of Congress and their staffs, and that the lines of communication need to be open between our local law enforcement and our Office of Sergeant-at-Arms and our United States Capitol Police Force here, including our threat assessment team. And that has been available. I'm not sure everybody has availed themselves of the opportunity, and that's one of the things we're stressing right now.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren. And Congressman, from everything we know to this point, we don't know that there's any sort of a political connection to this shooting other than that this person evidently had some sort of gripe with the congresswoman, based on some writings that have been discovered. But in the wake of this, we certainly saw many different commentators suggest that volatile rhetoric, even the sheriff, the local sheriff there said that, and other commentators have said that rhetoric surrounding the health care debate and the Tea Party movement, while not necessarily intending for this to happen, perhaps played some sort of indirect role. How do you react to those suggestions coming out in the wake of this?
Well, I was very disappointed in the comments by the sheriff. I know he's under a great deal of pressure, and maybe that's how he feels, but in my judgment, that was not the place to articulate those feelings or those opinions, particularly when they're not based on any fact related to this particular incident. One of the things people in law enforcement learn very early on, whether they are in the investigative stage or in the prosecutorial stage, is you go where your facts lead you. And if you already determine what the facts are before you actually find them, you're probably going to mislead yourself. And I think the sheriff should have thought of that. There's no evidence whatsoever that this is the result of any right-wing connection or, frankly, any left-wing connection. There's no suggestion based on evidence that would lead one to conclude that, in fact, he was prompted by anything that any member of the Tea Party said or Sarah Palin said or any radio commentator said. And it ill serves us to leap to those conclusions. If you really want to understand what happened here, if you really want to understand motivation, if you really want to understand what lessons can be learned from that, you do a disservice to yourself and to the people you're supposed to represent to jump to conclusions where there are no facts to back that up. We better find out exactly what this guy was all about. What are his rantings and writings? 50 years ago, 45 years ago, somebody like this probably would have been committed rather easily. We as a nation decided that we would not involuntarily commit people with mental difficulties, so to speak. Rather, the idea was they would remain in our neighborhoods and they would remain and they would receive treatment on a home basis, homebound basis. And as a result, you probably have people with some mental difficulties on the streets that you wouldn't have 50 years ago. That is, in a sense, a decision that we made from a freedom standpoint. I don't see a great move to change that. So with that as a reality, we ought not to mislead ourselves to think that this guy was somehow, following in lockstep from what someone said on the radio. We always allow vigorous and open debate in this society. Frankly, the First Amendment protects hateful speech, for goodness sakes, and politically charged speech, at least. The answer that the First Amendment writers, that the Founding Fathers had to bad speech, if you will, short of incitement to violence, was more robust speech. And I think we cannot lose sight of that as we come to grips with what this particular criminal act was all about.
Congressman, we certainly appreciate your time, and we'll certainly keep track of the efforts that you lead through the committee on future security policies up on the Hill and elsewhere. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you, sir. California Congressman Dan Lundgren represents his state's 3rd Congressional District. He chairs the House Administration Committee. He's also a member of the House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.